Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nabi is sent as a rahmat, and an alim is a deputy of a Nabi, a deputy representative. So these type of morals, lessons, values must be the values of ulama primarily, and thereafter at the level of the public. So when he's sent as a rahmat, as a mercy, then he's going to observe now what are the causes of problems. See, there are things that will obstruct people from the path. Now the Nabi has to see now what are the main elements. You are running a madrasa, or you're running a class, right? So the teacher is going to see what will bring the progress in the child and what will keep the child backwards. So he'll see several things, and he'll try and guide the children. For example, he'll say, alright, don't bring phones. And he knows the distraction. They'll get hooked into this thing here and they'll leave their higher objectives. What's the other more important things in life? They'll forget that. They'll feel that's the most important thing. Child is a child. He can only think to that point. He can't think beyond. So you will ask him not to do certain things. So that is just to the level of a classroom. And a Nabi is looking not to people that are at hand immediately, or not just at his race. He's looking at mankind right till the day of Qiyamah. What are the main impediments? Every zamana will have its own challenges, own trials. So he has to identify all those major problems and then guide them. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, the change that came in his life, say that he was resting at night and he heard some sound on the roof. So he went to investigate, found someone is searching, someone is looking for his lost camel. So he says, is this the place to look for a camel, for an animal? So that person tells him, is the bed the place to search for Allah Ta'ala? So now he understood now this was some divine message sent unto him. And not many days had passed thereafter, a new slave girl was entered into the palace, and she didn't know the protocol, how everything works. She saw a beautiful bed cast of gold and overlooking a garden and a river and filled with fragrance of musk, etc. And she saw this, she just lied down and she fell fast asleep. Anyway, the king got to know that this is what she's done. So she was lashed, perhaps 10 lashed, whatever, she was lashed for this type of misbehavior. So the king saw that she seems to be a little bit perturbed and worried. What happened? What worries you? What concerns you? He says, I just slept for an hour and I got 10 lashes. And now the person that is sleeping here for days and days and days, then how will he be treated by Allah Ta'ala? Now this thing really shook him up. See, his minor lessons come. Allah sometimes teaches you through people. And we just have to be a little bit conscious that perhaps this person is conveying a message. It is not from himself, it is someone else. It must have been about 1980, I think. 80 or 81. Azan, Zuhr Azan was going and was coming towards the masjid. So the black man is coming from the opposite side and he says, yes, the last one to come and the first one to go out. No, I suppose he doesn't know that between the Azan and the Namaz is a 15 minutes interval. But I took it as a lesson that he's conveying a message to me that the house of Allah Ta'ala, you don't treat it like this. Now, if I just took it in this stride, that he doesn't know how it operates, then it wouldn't have been a lesson for me. But I took it in this way, that this person, maybe Allah Pak caused him to say this word here. And when Allah Pak made him say these words, then I need to be reflecting on myself. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He sees a child playing in the mud. Playing in mud and all that. Children like that, you know, mud, when playing in skirts and all that. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullah warns him, you'll break your head, you'll break your leg. So the child turned around and said, see, if I break my leg, it's not going to be a big problem, not a massive problem. My own leg, I'll get hurt, I'll bring problem to myself. But you need to be careful how you walk. Because if you slip, then the whole ummah will slip. Munifa Ramadan used to get this type of messages. There was a whole timetable that he worked out for himself. Like how in a madrasa, in the khanqah, you work out a timetable for yourself. So you know, Munifa Ramadan had worked out a timetable for himself. The timetable was that after Fajr, his class would start off straight away. Dars starts off. And after the dars, then the queries and the istiftars, etc., that came from various people, various countries, he would attend to that. After that is over, then he would have his fiqhi council, ulama, that would participate with him in discussing fiqhi issues. He would have that. That will perhaps carry on to Zuhar. After Zuhar, he would rest. And after Asr, then there may be a variety of things that he would do. Either he'll go and see a sick person, or go sometimes to his shop, or meet someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, or try and help out someone that is in need, see to someone who requires his assistance. So a variety of things he may do. After Maghrib, again there is dars after Maghrib. And then invariably after Isha would be just ibadat, Quran Sharif, whatever, right till Fajr. From Isha till Fajr. That carried on for about 40 years in his life. And 30 years or so continuously is in the state of fasting. Okay. So such a person, it's going to be very difficult to say that he was prompted by nafs or shaitan to write something or to say something. When there was such a great high level of control over himself, right? 40 years Fajr namaz with Isha wudu, 30 years is fasting. So is it possible, it's possible that man is talking of his own. That is why when so many times Allah Ta'ala blessed him with seeing Allah Ta'ala himself, so many times, sorry to say, all these imams, all four of them had the occasion of entering the Kaaba Sharif, and all of them had completed the Quran Sharif perhaps in just one rakat inside the Kaaba Sharif, all four of them. So the alim, he is a deputy of a Nabi. He has the same colors of a Nabi. So when he's got the colors of a Nabi, then it is for people to emulate him. See, Zahiran and batin, and you know, look at the person, and they will think it is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? That's how people will see. People don't have a very high level of understanding of deen, but their deen is what they see an alim doing. Alim is doing a certain thing, well, that's the right thing, and I'm supposed to be doing what he's doing. So that's how they reason. Because they haven't studied, they don't have the knowledge, etc. So this is how they will look. Now, how important it is now thereafter that alim, he remains straight. He doesn't go off. So the Nabi's great mission is now, must have a constitution that will continue right till the end of time. So then, he looks now, what are the problems, what are the main problems that man comes across, main challenges. There can be a lot of things, but now I have to see now where these things stem from, where they start off from. So the first thing that the Nabi identifies is hubbu dunya. That hubbu dunya, an excessive love for the world. Hubbu dunya doesn't mean now that what wealth you have, you throw it away. But hubbu dunya means your heart becomes attached to wealth. So when it becomes attached to wealth, then in the acquisition of wealth, you aren't concerned about halal and haram. You aren't concerned of anything. Now, just look at it now, right? See now how it's panning out today. So perhaps in all the world, or more perhaps in the Western countries, but you'll find the same trait right throughout the world. So for approximately now, perhaps 70 or 80 some odd years, so the whole concern is about security, material security, right? So this is how they made it appear before the world, that you have to do something for your material. Must do some work, get into some profession, get into some business, and everybody has to be concerned, right? So it was an overload. Islam doesn't discourage you to become a little bit secure, but obviously Islam doesn't say that concern must become overwhelming. See, everything has to be done in proportion, right? وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا إِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Everything Allah sends in proportion. Right? Though He's got treasures, and He sends in proportion, but that's a blessing that He sends it in proportion. Right? Imagine the world water requirement for 5 years was sent in 1 hour. Will the world be able to contain that? But it's a world water requirement. But Allah sent the entire water in 1 hour. Can you imagine now what will be the complications? Or, for example, each one was told, you look after your own water. Send down the water, you look after your water. Can you imagine what will be the complications? Each one has to have a dam. You have to see that water remains fresh, right? Then if that person is traveling, he must carry along that water, right? If he's going to a masjid, he must carry his own water. Because en route sometimes, some gas may leak, then what's going to do? So there will be so many complications. So Allah made it such that وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ, that He sent in proportion for your own convenience. Now the same will apply to all the other essentials, right? Like everybody needs to live, so they need grains. Either you'll say rice, wheat, barley, maize, lentils, so we need something to survive. Now imagine if 10 years food supply was sent one shot, then how many silos they had to build to preserve that, right? And then the silos had to be injected with insecticides to see that the insect don't eat it up, right? Then so much of insecticide will be inside, it will be eating, you'll be eating chemical affairs. See the problems that will go with it. So وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. He'll send it, but in proportion. And sending in proportion is according to hikmah and wisdom. It's just that we don't apply our minds. So this overwhelming urge or overwhelming greed for wealth, that's wrong. But wealth itself, it's a blessing. But overwhelming, if it's overwhelming now, see they put into every person now, he must be materially secure, every person, very wealthy he must be. Now the problem that came up after that, the problem that came up after that. One problem that started after that was that when there was an over-encouragement or a great hype towards acquiring wealth, but they forced that woman to come out of her house. Because if you need to sustain yourself, then she says, I need to sustain myself. Right? What's going to happen to me? She's looking like blank. You know, you need something for sustainability, and I need something for sustainability. Otherwise, what's going to happen to me? See, now that whole figure, it went to such a level that she is feeling insecure. Right? That was how it was sent to them. His whole circularism, how they push it across. So this is what they turned on that girl. Right? Now when that happened, then that came with its own complications. Right? Now, they had to have mixed schools. They couldn't segregate the schools. They had to have it co-ed, right? So when they had it co-ed, then that co-ed came with its own problems. Now the statistics is showing, if it was just single ed, not a co-ed, right, the results of the learners would have been 90% better than in a co-ed situation. Because now you're going into a co-ed, right, you're sitting here, next to you is Mrs. Jamila. So you're going to be more worried about the education of Mrs. Jamila. Who are you going to think about? Your books, your lessons, the classes, you will be more interested. The teacher can be more interested, or the learner can be interested on the teacher. And the whole thing goes in a confusion, see. So sometimes you begin to doubt these people's intention. When they push this thing here, then were the intentions right? Did they intend a confusion amongst mankind for them to create this type of a system? Now, that was one, right? In the learning was a problem, right? Major problem, the learning. So you'll find in so many countries, 10%, 15% of the learners are already pregnant. Some places you're getting learners coming to school with the infant child. Really, they're suckling the child right in class. So now, can you imagine now the complications that came up with this? She's already a mother, and the figure for circular education is so much that she can leave her husband and go to school. She can leave the child at a go-go's place and go to school. See that concept. So it was an over-hype just to acquire this. And what he did eventually, what he did to that girl. That was one thing, right? Now, the second thing that it caused, same thing, it's not the same thing, right? Now, that child was left at home and she's studying, right? Or the girl is expected to become a professional person. When she's expected to become a professional person, then what happens to my children? Who gives them that motherly care? So then, a good percent of the children become delinquents. See that? Because a normal, natural way is the man goes out and he takes care, right? And the woman takes care of the house. But now if both are taking care of the finances, then who's taking care of the child? So the child eventually becomes a delinquent. 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, the child becomes a delinquent. Now when he becomes a delinquent now they're concerned how to rehabilitate him, how to bring him right again. See the problem that come up. problems that are associated with this overhype of wealth. Right? One problem, right? The second is when there's an overhype for the acquisition of wealth, then each person becomes obsessed with himself. Hey, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Right? So then, the type of family units that mankind lives in. You know, we live as human beings. We live in family units, right? So that breaks up because you're just worried about yourself. He's worried about himself. He's worried about himself. But in humanity, if there are 50 people that are normal, right? In the 50, you get 2 people or 3 people that are abnormal, sick, or invalid, or he requires some type of attention, mental, physical. From every 50, 60 persons, you'll find 1-2 person needs some assistance. So now, when that comes out, who will take responsibility? In that first situation, it was that we looked after our family. One person worked, and 10 people enjoyed from that one person's working. Now, this one, when you brought about this type of a circular thing, each person becomes overwhelmed about his own concern. Right? I'm just to myself. Right? And then his takazas will never end. His takazas will never end. Because takazas means, now it doesn't, it's not a takaza, it is now a luxury, right? It's a luxury. And the luxury will not end. Because if he's got a car, he will get a better car. If he's got a house, a better house. If he's got a holiday, better holiday. If he's going for Umrah every 30 years, now he must shortcut it, now he must make it every 5 years. See, he must repeatedly go for all these type of things, right? Now, at the end, what happens? Then, at the end, what happens is, he is only concerned about himself. What's happening to his neighbor, to his friend, to his brother, to his mother, it's not my fika. See this lifestyle. See this came up gradually. It took about 70 years. Now what you see now, it took after 78 years it came up. It was when I was a child, 1950 something. I can remember the blacks when they were sitting, now it's lunchtime, they're eating, right? So if one person had some bread, water, food, he'll call all those that are around him, all must share. And he will find it very hard to take the food himself. Very hard. He'll make it a point that all those that are around, those that he knows or he doesn't know, and he'll make sure that everybody eats of that. I think, hey, this is a pure Islamic teaching. Where did they get it from? Now, after 70 years now, when this madrasa was getting built, right, now I'm checking how they're doing it. I remember something in that zamana, in the 1950s. Now what's happening? Now I'm seeing the whole table has changed around. Now it is like this, you got your Tupperware, and you're eating, and your brother is there, so you turn around, look in the other direction, you're eating yourself, and he will look at you. Now, is that a good sight? Is that a good sight? You see what he did, the circular thing, what he did to mankind. So that was the second problem it created. One, it forced the woman out of the house. She must go out. Right? She must take care. Number two, it broke everybody. Right? Number three, the third problem it created now, because there's no end to your needs. Because if you got a car, upgrade, holiday, upgrade, clothing, upgrade, food, upgrade, everything must be upgraded, right? When everything must be upgraded, so then the concern will be to legalize, but I need to get more and more and more and more, right? So how do I legalize this? How do I make it permissible? So in legalizing any, we're not going to look at parameters. Somehow or the other, form some permissibility. This one here, get the permissibility, I get the permissibility there, and make it work. See where it took the person. That's the third problem, right? The fourth problem, the major problem, that this thing created us. Now when you see a person, then I want to see him, how strong is he materially. Not how strong is he in his values, in his ways, in his thinking, in his behavior. That is immaterial, it's not a concern. I must see materially how strong he is. That's how I'm going to measure. If he doesn't have anything material, then he doesn't mean much. But if he's got something material, then it means he's got something. That means he's usyar, he's intelligent, he's progressive. So we look at mankind totally different. See where he stems from this place. And the hadith, the gist of the hadith is that by don't attach this. It's a need, use it and leave it. Use it and leave it. Don't attach it. That's why because of Muhammad Ilyas that said it, right? That it's not haram to acquire wealth, right? Even a little bit more required. But because of the acquisition of wealth, two things you have to be concerned about. You see, one is don't upgrade your level of living. Your level of living, just leave it there. Your car, your living, just leave it there. Yes, there must be an increase in your striving for deen. Your level of living, just leave it at the same standard. Don't you ever try and upgrade your level of living. Like I said, just show you now. There's no limit to that. You know, in Dioban, it was Mawla Suhail or something. So he said, I don't need a salary. All I need is just look at my expenses, just cover my expenses. That's enough. I don't need to have a proper fixed salary. So after the first month or the second month, they called him to the office, say, rather take a salary because your needs are unending. Because now you need children's school fee, medical fee, rental, right? Some 1-2 days in the week, you need a Kentucky outing, right? You have to go this place, visit that person and that person, you need a petrol allowance. So adding all that, hey, this is too much for us. Just take the salary and carry on. Now you see our needs. It's not ending. Not ending. Any person, you see, not ending. If there's a shikai, there's a complaint, money's not enough. Money's not enough. But you won't hear of this thing here, then. I'm talking of my childhood, you won't hear of that. These are just carrying on. People are carrying on. One person is working in the family, and 10 people are eating. And I say, in every family, from 10, 15 children, right, and one will be very intelligent, one won't be very intelligent. Sometimes you may get a rare case, right? All are like doctors. You know this one, in those days they talk about a peer family. So the man has about 2 wives, there are about 30 children. Right? And nearly every child was a doctor. But now that's an exception to the rule. You don't get everybody becoming peers. One family came there, they came there, right? But normal is, after in 10, 15 children, one person is a little bit weak, delinquent, or he's not so capable. He's very capable, and this one is not very capable. So if the concern is only about the capable child, what's going to happen to this child here? See this, the way they took the world, they didn't understand what they're doing. Like you see in this thing here, this virus also. So the planning need to be reviewed. See, the whole planning is reviewed. Because it's a qaida, right? It's a logical qaida. That if you lock someone, then you take care of him. Right? You got chicken, right? Or you got rabbits. Or you got goats. You lock them in. So who has to take care of them? You have to take care of their food, of the medication, of the mental well-being. 3 things you have to take care of, right? So now, you lock people and they can't move. When they can't move, some people can move for the essentials, right? You define essentials, they can work. So there are over a good percentage of people, 20%, that don't fall in this essential category, right? So now what must they do? How are they going to, mental well-being, physical well-being, how should they sustain the homes? Right. So have we now locked them in and thought about the requirements? Someone said, no, but we're giving out hampers. But now that hampers, see, think about it carefully, that have we got infrastructure to ensure that the hamper will reach? If it is that we have that infrastructure that will reach, then why is there so much of theft, robbery, getting shops getting looted and all that? Like you won't hear normally. So because it was an abnormal thing, we didn't cater for it, this is the consequence. See, so who locks in, you must take care. Otherwise, you got a horse and you're not taking care, they can report you to the SPCA, can't you? For a horse, they can jail you. And this thing here, where wholesale, right, where people are being neglected. Now imagine now, we had occasion to go and distribute hampers, right? By the grace of Allah, a couple of good thousand got covered, right? But now, the people are so desperate, they are so desperate, like your truck is going to distribute. The whole crowd is there. It's difficult. You can imagine now, you don't blame them, because everybody is battling for survival. If you did something here, it wasn't managed right. When it wasn't managed right now, everybody didn't get. So now when you're doing a distribution here, everybody is battling for survival. So what's going to happen? So the strongest will get, and the weaker will get left out. See? So then you're going to get this robbery, theft, all that's going to escalate. Try to save one. You try to save the virus, but you brought him to the point of death. You see? So it has to be thought, must think properly, carefully, before you introduce this thing here. Okay. So, whoever locks in, then he is in charge, he is responsible. If it's an animal, what do you do? Can't they report you if you are not taking care of the horse? Physical well-being, mental well-being, the medical well-being. Now, yeah, they lock this thing in there, yeah? And they lock the hospitals. Couple of good hospitals they locked in, can't go. Doctors are scared. So now, how do you run life? So if you have done this, then do this as well. Otherwise, we can't manage it, because we're trying to save a smaller thing and causing greater harm. Trying to save a sickness, but taking people to death. Oh, yeah, in Spingo, normally you don't get death threat. I don't say you don't get, but very odd. But in this period here, the thing is escalating. Why is it escalating? Alright, you don't feel good about the person thieving. But then if you look at it from another angle, the desperation led the person to do what he did. Right? If he, feel sorry for him also, but you feel angry with him also. Why are you a thief, right? But you feel sorry for him also. We don't know what's the level of desperation. We are living comfortably. What about that person? That's forced him to go and thief. There'll be a big noise, call the police and everybody. Right? That procedure, I don't say it's wrong. But then what was the cause of this thing escalating? If you ever think about it. See this circularism, how it corrupted the mind. وَأَلِمْيَا صَبْرَ حَبْزَيْسِ كِتَابِ مَا ذَخَسِرَ الْعَامِ الْأَلَمْ بِإِنْحِتَاتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ You know? Like, though the Muslim was the traffic control, when he was a traffic control and he went down, so what happened to the world? See, so as though the Muslim is a traffic control. Just imagine. Now if the traffic control went off, what's going to happen? Huh? Accidents, deaths, problems, right through. Why? Because the traffic control went off. So that means now we have to improve ourselves. Muslims improve ourselves. We become better examples than we supposed to be the setter. You know, you set a trend. We're supposed to be the trend setters. We set a trend, then people will emulate. You know, one friend, long time ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago. So he's showing me a picture of Durban, 1910s or 1901 or something like that. So it's long time, not a long time, should be this picture. Now see, it says, see a man's clothing and a woman's clothing, 1901. So the woman's clothing was still here. And I can believe it because we did business, right? With blacks, Indians, we did black, 60s. So I would see the black woman, the dresses used to be tight till here. All of them, without exception. Right till, just above the ankle. If she comes of age, then she's got a scarf over the head. A dress like this. And I can still picture selling that material to them. You know, women have come of age, it should be a coarse, thick material. So it's not a see-through material, it's coarse, it's concealing the body, concealing the head. Right? So now, where did they pick it up? It's obviously they got it from Islam. But because there was a lot of Islamic influence right to that time, so that influence had remained. Right? And then there was another control that came in. Right? After 1940s, 50s, then another thing came in, right? Another power came in. When that came in, it was a godless thing. Nothing to do with God. That's why they call it secular. What do you mean by secular? From the day you enter school till you leave school, do they ever remind you of Allah Ta'ala? Of the day of Qiyamah? Do they remind you of your responsibility? Do they remind you? No, nothing. It's a godless education. So God doesn't exist. When God doesn't exist, then do you have a consciousness? Then you must do what your mind tells you, because God isn't a thing like God. What your mind tells you, that's what you must do. See? So now, who's running your life? It's your mind. And who's running your mind is someone else. He's running your mind. See? So he shifted you from Allah Ta'ala to a million gods. So all these people here, see, set up all these things. All these shaitans that have set it up, so he's drifting you away from Allah Ta'ala to them. They must run your life. But then we are like suckers, we just take it straight. Coming from here. News said this, the media said this, the schools are saying this. So we must take it. But did we examine the thing? That's why this English, when they started this thing here, they said this on their own confession. They said this much. I don't know if it was W. Hunter that said this. He said, there isn't a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu that enters into our institutes, goes through our whole procedure of education, but he will come out doubting his own religion. See that? He will doubt his own religion. He'll have questions. Now that's how they will design the mind, that he will not have the level of confidence in his own religion. So now, you will see that a man that is, say, 35, 40 years elder than you, his yaqeen will be different, and 35 years, 40 years later, his yaqeen will be different. Why? Because you went to the education, you went and risked your iman, right, and then you came out. When you came out now, doesn't it affect your iman? That iman is affected, your mind is affected.